Okay, good afternoon. I will call to order the third SHAC meeting for the 25-26 school year. The time is 3:49 p.m. and the date is January the 14th, 2026. Agendas have been distributed and members that are present have initialed and signed in. And so you'll see on the first part of our agenda, the first thing is nutrition food services. Deanne submitted a report that I will read. Here's Deanne's report. She's our food cafeteria manager. She says our school breakfast program fed 3,115 meals in December. The school lunch program fed 1,853 in December. So still a lot more kids, of course, are getting breakfast over lunch. They served 550 adult breakfast in December. And then we've had 99 adult lunches, 61 adult meals, 38 adult worker meals. And she says adult meals include teachers and parents. And then adult workers are the workers who prepare the meals. She says, we are so happy to have a new employee with 18 years of experience in school cafeterias. Her name is Dina Walker Kramer. Is that right, Dina?
Mm-hmm.
Dina. And she has two granddaughters in school, and she lives in Denison. Her husband owns Kramer Plumbing.
Tennyson, I bet.
Tennyson. Mm-hmm. Dina Kramer. So I haven't met her yet, but I saw the email that went out today. She replaced Pam Bradshaw. Did you know Pam?
I don't think so.
Did you know Pam, Miss Griffin?
I didn't.
She wasn't here for very long, just really the first part of the year. So that is the nutrition food service update. Next, Miss Riddle has counseling.
We are rocking and rolling into the next semester. More on the mental health side, I am in contact with West Texas Guidance and Counseling to set up what I call Mental Health Monday. And pretty much what that looks like is they come and bring some people and usually some kids or some things that kids like. And it's mainly geared towards our high school students where they will come and sit in the cafeteria with us and then I'll sit with them and I usually have like a craft. My goal is to do like friendship bracelets so the kids can talk with me, hang out with me, but then they can also meet West Texas Guidance and Counseling people. And it's just to plug them in and introduce them because, you know, sometimes I may not be around or, you know, they may move and I want them to know who's out there that can still support them with their mental health. So it's just kind of like a get to know you. So I'm working on that. I just made my new groups for small guidance for elementary and they're self-regulation. So you can think like big emotions. How do we handle that when we're frustrated instead of yelling and screaming? What are some things that I could teach you to put in your toolbox? You can use that instead. So that's what we're working on with our small groups. And then for high schoolers and mainly our seniors, we will have the Angelo State Academic Advisors come out January 22nd from 5 to 6 here in the library just to help them with that FAFSA stuff because it's a pain in the hiney. It's not fun. I wish I could make it easier for them. But someone who knows a little bit more just to answer questions and things like that. So that's kind of where we are counseling-wise.
We do have one student that Miss Riddle, I want to brag on her a little bit. We had a student that came back from the break and needed a little more support than I would say we can give through the principal's office. And so referred him to Miss Riddle, and she worked with that student and parent, and that one is now going to be in TChat.
Yep.
So that's a good thing.
Yes.
So anyway.
I also spoke with the sibling of that one, and we're just going to roll her in it as well. So too.
That's perfect.
That's going to be in what?
Somebody knock on the door.
TChat is what I...
TChat.
Okay.
It's the Texas Tech is... You might can explain it better, but...
It's like, while I'm a school counselor, I don't have, like, the licensing of, like, an actual, like, therapist or counselor. And oftentimes in small rural communities, they don't have, we don't have access to that. So Texas Tech created what's called TChat. And it's pretty much telecounseling that is used through schools. So while, yes, the student can still reach out to me and I can give services, they also have access to an actual licensed counselor to help them. And they usually last 4 sessions, but if they feel like they need to hang on to them a little bit longer, then it extends. So it basically just, it feeds off what the student needs for their mental health. So,
and see, to me, that's good because they don't know anybody in Bront and they can't spread the word on And I think maybe the kids realize that you know, I won't hear that he's going to a counselor.
And
you know what I'm saying?
It also is harder and harder to get in immediately as you have the need. And this is a really great way for them to get immediate counseling help until potentially they're able to get something different or through. It's just a really great thing. Like you said, for our rural schools, it feels very anonymous. They also don't have to travel, so we'll facilitate the time or the space here on campus. And they may miss class, but they don't miss 3 or 4 or 5 because they're not commuting. It's been a good thing. So, anyway, it worked exactly the way it was supposed to. The kid had an immediate need, was able to go to the counselor. She immediately, from one day, from over the weekend, and got them completely rolled in. It was flawless.
Are you required to tell the parents?
Yes.
You have to all the time?
Yes, consent from the parent.
And that is especially a big deal after the update from the legislator this year as well. It's okay in that.
There are times that the parents don't need to. Guess I'm wrong.
No.
Am I wrong?
No. But in this one, it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and anyway.
Yeah,
I thought it worked great. Okay, safety and security. I kind of use this as an umbrella for a lot of things. And I did want to use my computer and show you. One of the things that with the latest House bill or legislative laws updates, library books that are to be put in our library, gone are the days you can just go get out a little pamphlet and decide, I think I want to order this book and this book. Now, for the safety or security of our kids, any book that we want to put in the library, the book's name and author must be posted on the website for 30 days. And then after it's been on for 30 days, it goes to the school board and they approve it. So kind of some hoops. And you can imagine, though, where this has come from.
The school board members have to read these books?
No.
They don't even have to look at them?
They don't. But we're up to date. And so if you go to our Bront ISD website and you're ever curious, and then along the top where it says resources up there, we have a library link. And you click on it. And it shows what's going on, and then it even has a link on there about what books to be added to the library. And so when you click on the link, it'll show you every book that we currently would have put on. And so, like, I walked through the whole process. I had a person that came into my office about 2 weeks ago and handed me a book and said, I would very much like for this book to be in your library. And I said, okay, great, I'll read it, and then I'll add it to the list, and we'll go from there. And the person was like, what? And I said, we just have to vet the books, you know. And so they didn't have a problem with it, and I read it, and I think the book is great. I feel good about the book. And it's this last one, which is Every Day is Game Day by J.J. Morrow, who's a teacher and coach and admin over at Erie County.
He's from Bront.
So you know who it is. But anyway, so that's how the process works.
Wonder if retired teachers know this. I was not going to say a word at retired teachers, but I will have to. Because local units are supposed to donate books to the school library, and always before, we just brought them in, and you know, so we can't do that any. I mean,
you can still donate them. We love it, but we'll still have to list the title and for people to look and view. And it's not a bad thing. I know that in other places there have been a lot of controversial school board meetings and things about transgender books, gender identity, different coming of age type books that are going in, especially junior high libraries. And so that's where this is all stemmed from. And honestly, we're a pre-K through 12 library, and you do think about it though, we potentially have kindergartners that could come and pick any book off the shelf. So it is important that we all know what's in our library. So that's not a bad thing. But that is supposed to be kind of a safety thing for us. So that's why that is there. And then you can see this list will go to the school board meeting tonight. And if all are approved, they will all be in. The list goes away and we wait for the next set to be added. Okay, B, it says the emergency operating procedure, or our EOP, was updated. Basically, what that means is every 3 to 5 years, we have a big audit. And they just go back and look at our everything to do with safety. We had updates because Martin, you know, left us, and Brad Cooper has taken his spot. Simple things like what the guardian's roles are, that sort of thing. So everything was updated. I don't know if you know, but all of our windows and things that go to outside have to have a window wrap. You know, that, like if you just shoot it or they don't just burst out. It's kind of like a car shield, how it does the... and we discovered that we did have our windows wrapped, but they didn't put the caulk around it, which doesn't make it correct. And so we've had to contact Window Depot, and different ones come back and make it. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing that, okay, we hired somebody, they did it, but they didn't do it all the way right. And so now we've got it done. So that went to the school board in December. And so the EOP manual is up to date with all the people. And then I just wanted to kind of tell y'all, the safety and security system we use is called Sentinel. And you can see that these are the four things that we have to continually report on or do. Our intruder detection audit, we passed it. Our behavioral threat assessment, if we have a student that we think is going to potentially be a threat based off of their behavior. In the past, this was very much a secondary issue, but we've even taken a first grader this year to the Behavioral Threat Assessment Committee. And it really is just a way for us to all make sure you can be a threat at any age. Mm-hmm. And so that's really when you start having those discussions, well, that's a first grader. How threatening can they be? They can bring things from home. It can be. Mm-hmm. So it's just that Jess is on that committee as well. What we have found is when you have these meetings and stuff, it's not just about the kiddo that might be the threat. It's about the classroom for all the other children that are continually in class with kids that might have behavior issues. What kind of counseling outreach do they need? What kind of supports do they need? The district vulnerability mm-hmm. assessment. This is where somebody comes in and says, we think the following things might be vulnerable for your school, like the number of doors, the number of windows, the fact that we have an outbuilding and kids cross the street daily, that we're always going to get dinged on that one. Our football field is a vulnerable thing because it's so far attached. And then they tell us you're going to need to put up fencing and enclosures. And nevertheless, we did have our audit. I mean, it couldn't have happened on a crazier day. What did we have going on? It was the basketball tournament.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
It was the Horns Up basketball tournament. This was the first year we've done a basketball tournament here in years, and here comes the man from TEA. And I'm like, hi. And so we started at the front in the elementary wing, and we checked every literal outside door and the whole school district perimeter, including the ag. We did not have one finding. Then he comes in and he checks random doors throughout the inside of the building. Not one finding. He pulled up our sentinel site, the one that I'm talking about, and we have to, like, really, truly log every time our Crisis Go app goes off. We have every time we do door sweeps, and he checks the log, and you have to be, y'all, we made a 100. So, anyway, of all days, I thought this will be the day. Because kids are everywhere, yeah. You know.
Yes,
so,
and in and out.
Anyway, so I am proud to say that for emergency management, we're doing very well. So, anyway, that was just kind of a bright spot. Any new business? No. One of the things that we've talked about a couple of times, and really we've not fallen through, and I'm kind of stuck, is this career fair. Mm. You know, every year we talk about it, and we want to do it. Mm-hmm. And then when I start trying to gather people and do, is we can't decide on a date, or there's too many things going on, mm-hmm. or, oh, well, we already take part in this. It's not going to materialize this year. It continues to be a goal that I don't have enough outside interest. The one group of people that have been amazing, y'all, though, is Ballinger Memorial Hospital. Mm-hmm. They continue to reach out to us and ask, how can we help you? We will come. They did a school.
Like, I learned about the hospital.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not from this area, but, you know, they brought us goodies and they quizzed us. And then, of course, you know, mm-hmm. teachers are competitive sometimes and we wanted the goodies. Yeah. So we were paying attention.
They fed us. Mm-hmm. I mean, so while we don't have the career fair, I do feel like we keep trying to bring some people in to expose us to what's around us. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that the career fair is going to happen this year.
I'm sure Lisa worked on it. Year by, I mean, you know, when it ended this year, she started on.
I bet that's right.
I bet that because she did it several years, and it was
good.
The gym was full. I mean, it was, you know, with tape rows. Mm-hmm. There were probably four rows of tables.
Oh, that, wow. Well, that's my one. Yeah. That's kind of my regret. I wish we could make it happen. It just hasn't materialized. But.
Is there trouble like finding people to come?
Like vendors like, and yeah. We, so for the high schoolers, if you think about it, we have 62 or three kids in 9 through 12. That's going to be your target audience. Mm-hmm. Of that, when you're talking about career fair, we're really probably looking at juniors and seniors. So now we're down to maybe 35 kids. Well, you're going to want to invite other schools and other to come if mm-hmm. they're going to have people from outside even our area to set up. Mm-hmm. And then trying to get other schools to come. A lot of people go on over to the one in Sweetwater, or we go to the one in San Angelo. Mm-hmm. And so there are just others that are more regional, and it's almost easier just to go and attend than to try to get them here. It's just hard. Yeah. It's hard.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. So, okay, well, that's all I have, y'all. The time is 4:08 p.m., and I will call the meeting adjourned.